What's to blame for the banking crisis? From Marketplace in Los Angeles, I'm Nova Safo in for David Brancaccio. The Federal Reserve's Vice Chair for Supervision, Michael Barr, is set to testify next hour at a Senate Banking Committee hearing regarding the recent spate of bank failures. Congress gets written testimony in advance, and we expect Barr to say that Silicon Valley Bank's failure is a textbook case of mismanagement. That's a quote. David Kelly, who's chief global strategist at J.P. Morgan Asset Management, says it's a bit more complicated than that.
Clearly, there were some management issues, and I'm sure there'll be a good investigation into those management issues at SVB. But I think there's also an issue for the Federal Reserve, really two issues. One, what was the effect of increasing interest rates this fast after keeping them this low for so long? Because that destabilized a lot of bank balance sheets. And then there's a second question, which is we do have a lighter set of regulations on smaller banks than big banks.
That's David Kelly with J.P. Morgan Asset Management. By the way, the Democratic chair of the Senate Banking Committee, Sherrod Brown, has focused on bank executives and regulators. The committee's top Republican, Tim Scott, has blamed inflation and rapid interest rate hikes. Meanwhile, the Federal Trade Commission wants to make it easier to cancel subscriptions. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab has that.
Raghuram Iyengar feels a bit oversubscribed.
In terms of streaming, I have Netflix, I have Hulu, I have Disney Plus, I do have Sling as well, because I do watch a lot of cricket.
Iyengar is a marketing professor at Wharton, and he says subscriptions have exploded in the last few years, beyond gyms and newspapers. These days, you can get a subscription for pretty much anything. Wine, razor blades, meal kits, and more. UBS expects the industry to be worth $1.5 trillion by 2025, more than double what it was a few years ago.
I think with the rise of direct-to-consumer, I think all of that came along with how do we make sure that consumers will keep engaging with us?
That's good for companies trying to retain customers and prop up their balance sheets. But for some, keeping customers engaged has turned into making it too difficult to disengage. William Kovacic is a law professor at George Washington University and a former FTC chair.
Getting out is a lot harder than getting in, that you find yourself in a Hotel California situation where you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
He says one of the most typical versions of this is allowing customers to sign up for a service with the click of a button, but forcing them to call a 1-800 number with long wait times to cancel, or even mail cancellation requests to a physical address. The most narrow version of the new FTC proposal would require companies to make it just as easy for customers to cancel as it is to sign up. It's called click to cancel. And Kovacic thinks that version will pass.
The ease of exit itself is not likely to be seen as, by any means, a troublesome feature of the rule.
The proposal is open for public comment before the FTC finalizes the rule. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Growth in the streaming business is leveling off in the U.S., so content providers like Disney, Amazon, and Netflix are investing heavily in European markets. In particular, they've increased the number of films and series produced in Britain, Spain, Italy, and France. From Paris, John Lawrenson reports.
Samuel Musacchio is a big streaming series fan.
Can you pull it a bit louder?
On a recent evening, he settled down with his wife and son in their Paris apartment to watch the last episode of Weekend Family. It's about a French stepfamily. It's completely French-made by Disney. Musacchio's watched plenty of other regional originals, as the streamers call them. Netflix's Represent, for example, about France electing a black president. This content is quite different, he says, from what France's own TV networks make.
It was very multicultural, a lot younger and a lot riskier. But I don't know if they would be produced by the main channels.
Take Lupin. It's a modern twist on the old gentleman jewel thief story and another popular French-made Netflix series. This show helped demonstrate that Europe can be a profitable growth area for the streaming market. Amazon has shifted some major productions to Europe. Disney has upped the number of its European productions. Netflix recently doubled the capacity of its Spanish studios and launched 25 new series and films last year in France. Sorbonne University researcher Grégoire Bidot says this is a big achievement, as this country is traditionally so protective of its movie industry.
Netflix's strategy in France was to seduce French local industry by producing local content and by showing that they will put in an effort to integrate themselves to the local industry.
Film critic Frédéric Mercier says this investment in Europe is producing a generation of film industry technicians, the likes of which France has never seen before.
We see new training courses, new schools even, that are turning out young film industry professionals capable of producing content as if they were working on an assembly line, like the majors do in Hollywood.
With these young movie professionals now working on films in France, the streamers' hope is that more and more of these productions will be palatable to the French, even if they come from the big American companies. In Paris, I'm John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
Home prices in January continued to moderate for the seventh consecutive month. The Case-Shiller National Home Price Index today reported a seasonally adjusted 0.2% monthly decline. This is in line with what the National Association of Realtors reported last week about February's existing home sales, which showed an even further retreat. In Los Angeles, I'm Nova Safo with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.